Well, good morning. It's Saturday morning. We're getting ready for a heat wave, but we're also getting ready for the Beacon. Well, good morning. If you're having cereal, please pour me a bowl. I love cereal. We're talking this morning, Brian. Lainey, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Yes, I am here as well. Thank you so very much. I'm doing well.
You're looking as lovely as ever.
Thank you very much. That means a lot coming from you.
That means they see the inner you. That's right. Yes.
You know what? Exactly. See?
And that's more important.
That is
right?
The most important.
She's smelling like coconuts
this morning. You know what? I bought this essential oil. Actually, it's not essential oil because coconuts don't actually smell like anything. So It's, you know, it's a produced scent, but it's in an oil scent. And I just love it because it makes me think of vacation every time I smell it. And I get and people like it as well because I think it just sort of transports people to the beach, to a warm tropical place.
Yep.
And so
exactly.
I think that's nice. I think that the olfactory sense is a very important one.
Let me tell you.
Yes.
There are women that go out to the North Woods and hang acorns under their arms so that they smell like the natural outdoors, you know? So what can I say?
So I'm not that far off base then. Good for
no,
me.
No, you're not. So what's going on with yourself?
Oh, for heaven's sake. Have we talked since I got back from California?
No.
Oh, we didn't. Gosh, I feel like that was forever ago.
Yeah. It was.
It really was. I know. I took the kids to Disney and decided I'm done with Disney. It's just a big madhouse there.
Yep.
We went to Disney California, which was actually, that was great. That was really great. It was still a Disney property, so it had that Disney feel to it. Lots of fun rides, but the crowds were like a fraction of what they were at Disneyland. And then the next day we went to Disneyland and it was just a madhouse. Madhouse. And it's not fun at that point. Kids aren't having fun. You can't even walk in a straight line. You're in line for an hour and a half to go on the good rides.
They're crying, the kids, everything.
Absolutely.
They're hot, sticky.
Exactly. I mean, Reese and I stood in line for Space Mountain, and the line is 90 minutes long outside, no coverage, with the beating sun.
You're kidding.
Yeah, and you know how some rides they'll have like the kind of the sprinkler,
canopy.
The mist, or the canopy?
Yeah.
Nothing. It was so just like primitive and uncomfortable, and it just wasn't enjoyable
at all.
It was
so 1950s.
Very much so.
Yeah.
So the park is still 1950s, but the population has exploded, so they're trying to cram all these people into a park that just isn't built to hold that many people.
No.
So it's just not, it wasn't an enjoyable couple of days at Disney. Vacation overall was very nice. I got to see some of my extended family, my dad's family, who, my dad passed away about 20 years ago, but his mom is still alive. She's 95. And so I got to see my little old grandma, aww, who I just adore. She's so just like sharp and witty. She's on no medication. She takes nothing. She's got some eye drops, I think, because she's starting to have some eye issues.
Yeah,
but beyond that, she doesn't take anything. She's just like, she is a superwoman.
Were you out on the fire lanes too?
No, I didn't.
I'm surprised because when you and I talked.
Right.
You said you didn't even know there was a fire going on out there.
I didn't.
It was 30 miles northeast of L.A.
That's kind of right where, northeast. No, I wasn't north. I was south of L.A.
Okay.
I was south of L.A. So that could have been why we just didn't hear about it.
Near Thousand Oaks, California.
Oh, yeah. No, that's kind of right in the Los Angeles area. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why I didn't hear about it. But no, we certainly weren't affected by
it. You were too busy waiting in line and passing out from heat.
No kidding. So,
well, we have one of our theme shows today.
We sure do.
Transportation.
Yes.
And joining us on the program are
Miss Maggie Daly,
who actually has a last name, but I couldn't pronounce it without having it in front of me.
So what's Daly? Daly's not her last name?
That was her maiden name.
Oh, okay.
I got to tell you a funny story. I says, so I bet you didn't have any trouble getting a table. She says, never.
Never.
When I called, always there was a table available for me.
That is fantastic. And it took me a minute to go, what? Maggie Daly? She's not with us any longer.
And it's spelled the same way.
Is it really?
It's spelled the same way.
That's so funny. Well, it's not the Maggie Daly, obviously, but she took over for Patrick Wilmont, and she's going to be giving us a lowdown on all the good PACE stuff and
for the paratransit. For the paratransit. I'm telling you,
yeah,
it's amazing. They're really streamlining that system.
Good,
now.
That's wonderful.
So it's going to be hopefully good for. But you know, there's always going to be a moaner.
Sure.
Always a moaner and a groaner.
Of course there are.
And they cause their own problems.
Yes.
So moving on from that.
Okay. I couldn't agree more.
Yep.
And next we've got Bill Bogdan, who's going to be with us from the Illinois Secretary of State's office, and he's going to be talking about the disability placards and what they mean and et cetera,
and correct? The fines
associated with them.
Do you know what the fine is if you're caught using a placard of somebody who passed away?
Ooh, what?
It's a class one or a class A misdemeanor.
Uh-huh.
$2,500 fine and a suspension of your driver's license for 1 year.
For a first-time offense?
For a first-time offense.
You know what? Good.
Yes.
There is nothing more perturbing to me than people who park in disability parking spots either without a sticker or who don't need it. And, of course, by looking at somebody, you don't know whether they need it or not.
So no, because there's invisible disabilities.
Exactly.
Bill and I talked about that, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's very, very critical and important to understand because people get into this entitlement, especially with social media and everything, you know, people just hide behind their little computers and think that they have the sense of entitlement. And, you know, people will snap pictures of somebody getting out of a car and walking, somebody who's in a disability parking spot,
right,
walking to the store and posting it on social media and calling them out for it.
Let me tell you what Bill says to do: get the license plate.
Okay.
Report it to the local police.
Okay.
There is a form on cyberdrive.gov.
Okay.
That you can go to, print it out, and you could send it to the Secretary of State's office.
And they can confirm whether it's a valid placard.
That's what they said. They said, don't try to be critical.
Yeah.
You know,
you don't know somebody's story.
Not only that, but first of all, if it is somebody who has some problem,
right,
they could slug you.
Yeah.
And then you'll end up needing a placard yourself.
You know what?
So.
I can't blame them.
And then you have got recipes for us.
Yes, we're continuing our Turnip the Beet Sweet Treat, Summer Sweet Treat edition.
Yep.
So I'm going to be giving you a nice recipe for a vegan mini berry cheesecake to help cool you down this summer. I know.
But the next one is good.
And the next one is, next week I'm going to be giving you a recipe for coconut cream, mini coconut cream pies. I know.
Excellent.
I know. I'm cruel. I come in here with all these recipes and I show up empty handed after months of promising.
Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen.
I know.
We talked about cookies in that year, earlier
months
in
ago,
the year.
I'm sure.
And Lainey said, bring some in. You guys can try it. You know, if we were supposed to wait for her cookies, we'd weigh about 12 pounds.
You would. It's been months. And I do have good intention. And this morning I did put it in my phone. And
yeah,
I
but
set
that doesn't
an alert.
Put it here.
I know.
It doesn't put it there,
I know. And I do feel bad about it because I really have I'm very well intended.
And now you have to have that with a glass of buttermilk and you're in good shape.
Oh, my gosh.
And then, of course, we got
Tom. Are you in the 1940s right now?
Yeah. And then, of course, we got Tom's Corner coming up to end the show.
That's it.
So we're going to start out with a visit with the folks from PACE Suburban Bus, talk about paratransit. I'm Bill Jurek.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
And we'll be back after this.
Every day, PACE is helping more and more people with disabilities take control of their day.
My friends change plans a lot, which was tough because my rides had to be booked a day before. One day, I figured out how easy it was to put my wheelchair onto regular PACE buses. Since then, I haven't missed out on any pickup games. Yesterday, I had 10 rebounds.
Freedom means being able to go wherever I want, when I want. Before, things like missing an ingredient for a recipe or other unexpected errands were a real pain to figure out. Once I learned my service dog Nola was welcome aboard PACE Fix routes, we've been riding ever since.
Hi, I'm Bridget Brown. If you're anything like me, it drives you nuts when you feel like you're missing out on things. Now I make plans in the middle of the day without even thinking twice about it, thanks to the PACE Bus.
When you're ready to take control of your day, visit PACEBus.com or call 847-364-PACE. PACE. Connecting communities.
Periodically, we like to check in with PACE Suburban Bus to see what's going on. You see, PACE is the operator of the paratransit in the Chicago metropolitan area. And usually we're joined by Patrick Wilmont, but they kicked him out. No, they didn't kick him out. He left PACE. So Maggie Daly Skogsbakken is joining us. Did I get that right?
Well done.
All right. Now, don't ask me to do that again, because probably at the end I'll blow it.
You did it great. That was better than I pronounced it.
How you doing today?
I'm doing well, Bill. Pleasure as always.
And you said this is the right time to call because there's a chock full of changes coming up for the paratransit people.
Yeah, it is perfect timing. We've got a couple of nice changes going in this Friday. And then I can tell you about a couple near future changes as well.
Okay.
That we're hoping to help with service.
Okay.
So the ones going in this Friday, July 15th, are that we're launching a new special number to call and check on the status of your ADA paratransit ride.
Now, is this going to be for suburban as well as city?
No, this is going to be Chicago only.
Okay, all right.
All right, so Chicago riders can call and check on trips that they've already booked through their carrier.
Okay.
So this number can't be used to book trips, but it can be used to check on status.
Okay.
Which is a request we've had quite a bit, that people could see, make sure everything is booked appropriately, the trip's on its way. There is that 20-minute window, so it's not an exact time. So these help to confirm that the trip is coming, everything is right, and we're all good to go.
Good. Sounds good. So, it will be a big convenience, too.
I think so. Yeah. I do think that it'll be helpful. And just to give people that comfort level that everything is set up that they need.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And what
else? Second thing. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
The second item that's going in this Friday is also Chicago only. And what it is we're moving to centralized dispatching. So trips are going to be distributed among all the Chicago ADA carriers,
mm-hmm.
regardless of the zone or who you call to book with. So
okay.
You'll still call the same number that you book with. But say you call CDT, the vehicle that shows up might be an SCR vehicle. Now, they're all going to have PACE logos on them.
So right.
They're all still going to be easily identified that way. And everyone will continue to call the same number. But this just means a different carrier than the one you call to book might pick you up. And this is going to allow us way more efficient trip planning and dispatching.
Let me ask you this. About 2 years, 2 or 3 years ago, I was trying to think, PACE was talking about making all the units the same, all the vehicles the same. Are we at that stage yet?
No, that's going to take a huge capital investment to get our own fleet.
I gotcha.
All of our vehicles in the city of Chicago are actually owned by the carriers that we work with.
Sure.
And they do have requirements, though, that we have implemented with them since we took over ADA in the city.
Sure.
So there definitely have been improvements. There's more consistency. We've set standards for them. So while they might not all be the same vehicles, the majority of them are equipped to handle any kind of required trip.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay, so that's coming in this Friday, too.
Yeah, yeah. So the move to our own fleet, that's far off. That we can't identify funds at this point. I'm sure y'all know there's some funding issues and capital and the infrastructure investments are among those problems.
Yep.
We're hopeful. We're still looking out, and keeping that as part of the plan. It's just got to, be pushed a little bit further down the road.
Gotcha. Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah. So part of this, like centralized dispatching, there'll be something awarded at contract awarded at tomorrow's board meeting. So the board meeting that we're having on Wednesday of this week will talk about an award for a regional mobility management call center.
Oh.
That's part of that dispatching. That's going to be, we're trying to centralize most everything.
Sure, sure.
So these mobility management functions, including call taking, scheduling, and dispatching for Ride DuPage, Ride and Kane, Will Ride, Will County ADA, and Dial-A-Ride, and then the Chicago carriers, eventually will all be centralized.
Mm-hmm.
And this is based on a 2011 study by Nelson Nygaard that we had that concluded that PACE could save significant dollars by going to this type of model.
Okay, makes sense. It actually makes sense to kind of put everything
really
under one unit, yeah.
And it's going to help us facilitate the delivery of about 4 million trips annually, a little under, about 3.9.
Wow.
And right now our current contract for these mobility management is about 1.9 million. So this is going to be great to help, make everything more efficient, make more sense, and just hopefully save everyone time and money.
Oh, wow. I can't. Those figures blow me away.
We provide a lot of service.
Wow.
And that's over a few years, that's not,
sure.
We don't expect it to jump up immediately. This isn't going to go into effect immediately. There's going to be some, you know, transition period, but that's what will be at some point in the near future.
Okay, sounds good.
So another nice thing happening at the board meeting, the July board meeting, is that we are reappointing and appointing our ADA committee members,
the
urban and the city. So we've got great teams. There's very few replacements. A lot of people are just continuing on. We have great participants, and they give us great feedback. So we're very happy to be reappointing people and happy for the few people that are newly joining us.
Sure. That's a great idea. Once you get consistency on a board, because I was the chairman of the Metro ADA.
Nice.
And it worked out very, very well. We got a lot of good input, you know, not only from committee members, but also from people who would come and attend the meetings, too. So.
Yeah. Yeah, the amount of feedback and guidance I get are amazing.
Yeah.
It really helps me, you know, all of us here at PACE, be better communicators, adjust the service. And that's what happened when before we took over Chicago ADA.
Sure.
We met with 50 different, you know, communities and heard the issues and then addressed them.
Sure.
You know, to the best we could. And the complaint levels from that time, those complaints are almost gone.
Good.
Now we have a new set of, you know, issues that we want to address that we're working toward. But we've been really lucky to have this feedback so that we can really make the service what it needs to be to the best of our ability.
Good. Sounds good. Sounds like a great plan.
Yeah. So the one future change, in addition to the centralized call taking that will eventually happen, is that we're going to move. This will happen a little sooner, I think. In the near future, we're going to be taking reservations 48 hours in advance for ADA paratransit trips.
Oh,
currently, it's 24 hours.
Yeah, that's nice. That'll be real good.
Yeah. So, I mean, we want to give people a little more time. We don't want to have it be too far out because, you know, sometimes that can produce its own problems. When you allow people to book really far out, you get cancellations, and it just sometimes ends up being a little bit overwhelming to try and balance that. But 48 hours seems to be a good spot, so we'll try that, and hopefully that'll address some people's concerns about, you know, having to make that trip reservation only 24 hours in advance.
Well, let me tell you, just from experience, I was down in Florida, lived down there for 2 years, and the paratransit services down there did allow 48-hour reservation time.
Great. Oh, and that's good to hear. I'm sure that our ops team has reached out and done a little best practice study on that. They're in touch with most of the nation's other paratransit providers to get their feedback. I mean, through APTA as well. We had a lot of good feedback and peer review of stuff. So I don't know if they necessarily talked to Florida, but I'm sure they talked to other peer agencies.
Well, they need to talk to Florida because even though they do the 48 hours out, there's a lot of other things that they're very short in coming on. So, you know, the only way you learn is from other people doing the same thing you're doing,
absolutely,
but in other communities and see how it works, you know. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I rely on it all the time.
Sure. You have to, yeah.
So, the one final thing I want to just mention really quick.
Sure.
There's good news and bad news when it comes to state budget.
Oh, state budget. Oh,
I know.
Yeah.
So PACE is part of the state stopgap budget. Unfortunately, it's at a reduced amount.
Right.
So the good news is we're getting partial payment. The bad news is it's not the historic amount. We're going to get about $7.6 million for 18 months. So that's July 1st, 2015 through December 31st, 2016. Historically, in that time, we've received $12.75 million for that same period.
Wow. Yeah.
Now, the unfortunate thing is that these monies are being cut from mandated services.
Mm-hmm.
So these are unfunded mandates to a point, not completely, but now they're becoming slightly unfunded. And that's the cuts that we're going to see are to the general grant we get for ADA paratransit service.
Mm-hmm.
That's being cut. And then we're receiving, I want to say, about half the reimbursement for the reduced fare program, which is state mandated.
Well, we get that for Chris Radio, the reading service in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And we've lost a substantial amount of money, too.
Most social services, everyone is, you know, struggling to get through. And so, you know, this is a Band-Aid. It'll help, you know, for now, and we're happy to be a part of it.
Hopeful
we're going to get some IDOT money for vehicles. We'll see.
This is how they say this too. With time shall pass. You know, hopefully it'll be sooner than later. If you know what I mean.
I hope so. And you know, luckily we have a great finance team here. We have a great ops team. We make it work for a lot less than a lot of other people do.
Sure.
So we'll make it work. It'll still, you know, no service changes yet. No measures to counter this yet.
Sure.
We think we're going to be okay. And that's thanks to everyone here who works really hard to run lean and effective service.
And you know what? I think the changes that you've announced and we're talking about are going to be absolutely instrumental in making it all work, too.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I'm excited for these changes. They've been, you know, researching these and planning them for a long time, and I'm really excited to see them come to fruition.
It's about time, right?
Right.
There you go. Well, listen, Maggie, thank you so much for joining us and updating us. If we have any questions, believe me, I'm not the kind of guy that's a wallflower. I'll give you a call, and we can talk about some of the issues and things that are going on.
Absolutely. We're happy to share. You now have my cell. I'm at your beck and call, and I really appreciate you taking the time to get this update and talk to me.
No problem at all. That's Maggie Daly. I'll let you do the last name.
Skogsbakken.
There you go. Like she said. I'm Bill Jurek. The show's The Beacon. We'll be back with more after this.
I'm Dr. Linda Van Eldick, a biomedical scientist supported by the American Health Assistance Foundation. I'm dedicated to educating the public because it's important for all of us to understand this debilitating disease. I conduct research aimed at discovering new and effective treatments for Alzheimer's disease. This is critical because every 70 seconds, someone in America is diagnosed with Alzheimer's. That's more than 1,000 people a day. Preliminary data show that exercise, a healthy diet, and keeping your mind active may help reduce your risk. At our website, ahaf.org, experts will answer your questions and address your concerns. Find out about promising research the foundation funds and learn how to live with or care for someone with the disease. Call 1-800-437-2423 or go to ahaf.org for a free brochure on understanding Alzheimer's disease. That's 1-800-437-2423.
So what do you got planned for the rest of the July?
You know, I don't. There's really not a whole lot going on in the life of me.
No.
I've got my kiddos. You know, I've kind of, with my 10-year-old, usually I book her, schedule her out, you know, from the beginning of summer to the end of summer. This summer, it might have just been total procrastination on my part. Or...
like the cookies.
Or I can say I made a deliberate decision to just let her chill out this summer. So that's what I'm going with. I've made a deliberate decision to let my 10-year-old chill out this summer. She's in soccer camp. She was in soccer camp this past week. Yes.
That's fifth grade already.
I know, sweetie. I know. She was two when you met her.
I know. She loved Abner to the hilt.
She absolutely, and she's still a huge dog lover.
Is she?
Huge
That's
dog
good.
Lover. Yeah.
He was the perfect one for her to meet.
I know. He sure was.
We're going Monday. As a matter of fact, I've got the home interview.
You do?
For the replacement for Lincoln.
For Lincoln, who retired at 5 years old.
No.
How old? Wasn't he
seven.
Five? He
seven.
Was seven already?
Yep. 7 years old.
You've had him for 5 years?
No. I had him for 3.5 years.
Okay.
But
so he was older when you got him.
He was older when I got him, and he just wants to be a dog.
He wants to be a dog.
Yep. So
he
that's
fine. He
doesn't
want to be, can't be bothered.
Nope, can't be bothered.
Guide dog business.
That's right. Yeah. Talk to my assistant,
right.
Poopy, the little min pin.
Call
so,
my people,
know.
But only in case of an emergency.
That's right, exactly.
Otherwise, I'll be on the beach shooting back a margarita.
That's it. But so Monday we got that, and I'll find out when I'm going.
Exciting.
Yep.
Very exciting.
Exactly.
Cool. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
You're
well,
welcome.
Also exciting is good news.
What?
And that is the fact that we are on the air on Saturday mornings right here on WCPT.
Mm-hmm.
And we are on Wednesday nights on Chris Radio.
Mm-hmm.
We are available on our website, www.chicagolighthouse.org. And we soon will be available online.
Man.
So you won't need a computer. I mean, you won't need a receiver
to get us.
You
won't need a receiver.
You'll have the ability to hear the show without being on...
having to have a radio nearby.
Exactly.
Well, aren't we high tech?
Well,
look at us. We're moving up in the world.
We're crawling and scratching into the 21st century.
We are.
Speaking of crawling and scratching... Bill Bogdan is going to join us, right?
Yes, he is. I don't understand the correlation that you just made, but he is joining us. It's all right. It's an easy transition.
I'm rusty.
Yeah, it's okay, sweetie. It's okay. You got to ease back into it. Bill Bogdan will be here from the Illinois Secretary of State talking about disability placards.
You know, for a lot of folks in a parking lot, all these spaces, or at least hopefully all the spaces near the door, are close to being disabled or handicapped parking, whichever way you want to look at it. But a lot of times you'll see cars in there that may not have the proper credentials to be able to park in those spots. So we kind of thought we would review, not only for the general public, but also explain what the different placards are, so that if people with a disability need to apply for a placard, they can do that. Bill Bogdan works with Illinois Secretary of State Jesse White's office, and he's cordially invited to join us here this morning after spending a day over at Access Chicago. Bill, how are you?
Oh, I'm great, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here this morning to talk to you and your listeners about the parking program for persons with disabilities.
Yep. First of all, let's get started. How long has this been in existence, if you know offhand?
Well, the parking program began, I think, approximately in 1973, so it's been around for a long, long time, but it's one of those programs that, unfortunately, are widely abused by people who don't belong parking in those accessible parking spots.
You know, a lot of times at ballparks or in amusement parks, that sort of thing, or around shopping centers at the holiday time, people think they can get away with it, you know?
That's for sure, and it's Secretary of State Jesse White's goal is to reduce the fraud and the abuse of the parking program for persons with disabilities and to ensure that those that need the spaces have the spaces that they deserve. So our message is always loud and clear. If you don't belong there, please don't park here.
Yeah, you know what? That makes a lot of sense, too. What about the people that, if you happen to see somebody, now, you know, we get into a touchy area here, Bill, because there are certain people that have what they call hidden disabilities. And if sometimes you'll see a car pull into a parking place and the person doesn't look like they have anything wrong with them at all. So in an incident like that, should you report them? Should you just let it go? What's the situation?
Well, as you said, there are many, many very hidden disabilities that are out there, or invisible disabilities that are out there. Our office always recommends that you never confront anybody who you feel may be abusing the parking program for persons with disabilities. You know, number one, for your own safety, and then number two, you don't want to run into that situation where, you know, someone may have a disability, but you just can't see it. The best thing to do is if you feel that someone is abusing the parking program for persons with disabilities is to contact your local police department, or if you go to our Secretary of State website at www.cyberdriveillinois.com, we actually have an abuse parking program for persons with disabilities abuse complaint form that people can fill out and send to our office, and we will go ahead and follow up with that complaint. We can't go ahead and issue a ticket off of the complaint, but however, we will follow up with a letter sent to the person and inquire about the usage of the accessible parking spot. But number one, like I mentioned, if you do witness abuse and you feel someone is abusing those programs, is never to confront them, is to basically call your local police, call 911, report it, get the license plate number, or if you feel they're abusing a placard or a disability license plate, and give it to the person there and let the law enforcement officials handle it.
You mentioned fines. What kind of fines are we looking at?
Well, Secretary White's worked long and hard with the Illinois State Legislature to increase the fines and penalties significantly for those who abuse the program. And in Illinois, we primarily, well, even across the nation, there's primarily two major types of abuse. Number one is when people pull into that accessible parking spot and they don't have a state-issued parking placard or disability license plate or disability veteran plate. Those individuals, in my opinion, they're not fooling anybody. They're pulling in there for whatever reason, and they don't have the plate or placard. That's the easiest for law enforcement to issue a ticket to, and that carries a minimum statewide of a $250 fine.
Okay.
And local municipalities can adopt an ordinance or pass a resolution, and they can increase that fine up to a maximum of $350 for individuals parking in an accessible spot without a plate or placard. And then the second type of abuse that's very common is when friends, family members, or who have you, use a parking placard that actually belongs to an individual with a disability, and the person with a disability is not present. They're at home or they're not in the vehicle when parking, so they're abusing the placard or the disability license plate. And that is a very significant penalty in Illinois. It carries a $600 fine for the first offense and a six-month driver's license suspension.
Whoa.
So Secretary White wanted to send that message loud and clear that this abuse should not be tolerated. And then to even get even further, we have a problem with individuals, unfortunately, using deceased persons' parking placards. And, you know, we have that stories that are out there that those parking placards have a tendency to live on long after the disabled individual passes away.
Yeah.
And to make sure that doesn't happen, that is a Class A misdemeanor, which can carry a maximum of a $2,500 fine and a one-year driver's license suspension if you're caught using a parking placard or a disability license plate that belongs to someone who is now deceased.
Wow. That's, well, you know, you got to put teeth in it sometimes for people to learn. So that,
well, you really do, and you know, and it's been something that we've always took a very firm look at as to how can we best you know, reduce the fraud and the abuse, and that is to, you know, significantly penalize those who are abusing the program.
Bill, does the placard that I get issued in Illinois, would that be good in any other state too?
Yes, we have reciprocal agreements, so our placards are valid in basically every state and other foreign jurisdictions. But the most important thing to do is to, if someone is traveling to a different state, you know, many states have different rules and regulations, so you always want to try to best follow up with that. Back in 2014, Illinois' parking program had changed, where we'll honor out-of-state placards in Illinois, but they're no longer valid for the meter-exempt parking.
Mm-hmm.
So they would only be valid if they're parked on-street accessible spots. There's no charge for an out-of-state placard for that. But if they pull up carte blanche to a meter, then they're subject to pay that meter fee.
Just like anybody else would.
Correct.
Yep. Now, you talked about the meter exempt and that sort of thing. What are the, because there's quite a few different placards out there now, correct?
That's correct. Back in 2014, the Illinois General Assembly passed a new law and so forth that actually created a tiered system for permanent disability placards in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually have two different types of permanent disability placards, and one is a yellow meter-exempt, yellow and gray striped meter-exempt parking placard. And that one, if you will, is a placard that's issued to people who have a valid Illinois driver's license or are under the age of 18 and incapable of driving that meet a more stringent requirement where their disability significantly impairs them from feeding a parking meter.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, if you're not eligible for the meter-exempt placard, then you would get our standard blue parking placard, which would allow you to park at any accessible parking space at a mall or a grocery store, for instance,
mm-hmm.
and any on-street accessible parking space as well. But if you park at a parking meter, you're subject to pay that parking meter if you have the blue permanent disability parking placard. So as of 2014, only the yellow and gray striped parking placard grants you the meter-exempt parking.
Let me ask you a question. Let me interrupt you for a second.
Sure.
Let's say somebody gets a disability plate with the wheelchair symbol on it.
Sure.
How do you go about checking to make sure that they need that special privilege of being able to not feed the meter?
Well, primarily, if you have a disability license plate, those plates, and along with our disability veteran plates, do not qualify the authorized holder for meter exemption. You have to have the yellow and gray striped parking placard. So even if your listeners have a disabled license plate, they must also, in addition, hang that yellow and gray striped parking placard in order to be meter exempt.
I got you.
And in order to get any of our parking placards or disability license plates, we have an application that is required. And you could obtain the application again on our website at cyberdriveillinois.com. And then the individual with a disability must go to their physician. And their physician must certify them that they meet the eligibility requirements for the parking program. In addition to that, the physician will go ahead and mark the appropriate parking placard that the individual qualifies for.
Right.
And back in 2014, to try to help physicians get a better understanding of the program, Secretary White sent out over 68,000 letters to physicians all across the state of Illinois, asking them to step up to the plate, do their part, and ensure that their patients meet the eligibility requirements before approving them for a plate or placard.
Sure.
We also partnered with Rush University Medical Center, their ADA task force, and created a brochure called the Medical Professional's Guide to the Parking Program for Persons with Disabilities. And this was actually written for physicians, by physicians, so physicians really get a better understanding of the eligibility criteria and to ensure that they're approving their patients for the appropriate parking placard.
Sure, sure. There's a couple other ones, too. Isn't there a red and a green one, too?
We also issue a red parking placard, and that is for our temporary disabilities. This may be for someone who, their disability is not diagnosed to last longer than a six-month period of time. So somebody who unfortunately may have broken their ankle or may have had some minor knee surgery or what have you, and they need a placard for a short period of time, not longer than 6 months. That placard does not grant the meter exemption, but it would allow the individual to park in an accessible parking space. And then lastly, we have a green parking placard. We don't issue too many of these, but primarily it's about maybe 6,000 statewide, but they go out to non-for-profit organizations that transport people with disabilities free of charge. So like maybe the Chicago Lighthouse may have these parking placards if they have vehicles and they transport people with disabilities. Those organizations can apply for that placard as well.
Well, I think that kind of describes it real well. So where is it available on the website, so you can download the application, then take it into your physician, get it all filled out. Is there a charge for the placard?
No, the placards are issued free of charge. The standard, if you're requiring or looking for disability license plates, the standard fee for the disability license plates applies for your plates. We also have disabled license plates are available in vanity and personalized plates. So if people go to our website. You can also go to pickaplate.com or at cyberdriveillinois.com and pick a plate. And you can actually see if one of those fancy sayings or a combination of letters and numbers are available if you want personalized or vanity plates.
Sure.
So that's available as well. And then the standard fees are applied to the disability license plates.
Well, you know what? You provide a lot of information. I think you cleared up quite a bit of questions that people may have had about the program as well. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it. Now go take a couple of aspirins and you can recover from the Access Chicago.
Well, thanks, Bill. And in closing, the one thing that I really want to say is for all the people out there that qualify or are eligible for the parking program for persons with disabilities, it's your responsibility to make sure those placards are used accordingly. You're our first line of defense, if you will, out there. And please don't allow your friends or family members to use your parking placards or disability license plates if you're not in the vehicle. Save those spots open for those who truly need them. And it's been a pleasure talking to you this morning.
Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it. That's Bill Bogdan. He works with the Illinois Secretary of State's office and knows everything. Well, I would say everything that he needs to know about the placards and the disability license plates. I'm Bill Jurek. We'll be back with more after this.
Every day, PACE is helping more and more people with disabilities take control of their day.
My friends change plans a lot, which was tough because my rides had to be booked a day before. One day, I figured out how easy it was to put my wheelchair onto regular PACE buses. Since then, I haven't missed out on any pickup games. Yesterday, I had 10 rebounds.
Freedom means being able to go wherever I want, when I want. Before, things like missing an ingredient for a recipe or other unexpected errands were a real pain to figure out. Once I learned my service dog Nola was welcome aboard PACE Fix routes, we've been riding ever since.
Hi, I'm Bridget Brown. If you're anything like me, it drives you nuts when you feel like you're missing out on things. Now I make plans in the middle of the day without even thinking twice about it, thanks to the PACE Bus.
When you're ready to take control of your day, visit PACEBus.com or call 847-364-PACE. PACE, connecting communities.
Well?
You're going to be paying some hefty fines.
Are we? Uh-huh.
With the Illinois Secretary of State.
Yes, you are. Definitely.
Yeah, you misuse or abuse.
I thought you were saying me.
Well, we'll discuss later, Mr. I don't know.
Right now we're going to discuss some fabulous creations of cheesecake with you.
We are.
In our Lettuce Turn Up the Beat segment.
The Summer Sweet Treat Edition.
Mrs. Gleeman.
Thank you, darling.
It's all yours.
Thank you. Well, this morning I'm stealing a recipe from sarahbakesgfree.com, and this is a vegan mini berry cheesecake. So as you all know, I don't eat, but we look like you want to say something.
Okay.
You know, I don't eat dairy or meats or anything like that. So when you hear cheesecake, you go, that's curious. You're very curious about how you make a cheesecake without dairy. I'm going to tell you. So this guy makes 16 little mini cheesecakes, and I actually might have to make this with my kids tonight because it sounds amazing. So for the crust, you're going to get 3/4 cup of oats, so like old-fashioned oats. I mean, just like uncooked oatmeal, basically. Not the quick oats, but the old-fashioned oats.
No, yeah.
And then 1/3 cup of pecans, and chop those babies up. 2 tablespoons of pure maple syrup, and 2 tablespoons of melted coconut oil. Put all that in a blender, squish them down into, I actually use a cupcake tin or a muffin tin to make the mini pies.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
So you just kind of, you squish the crust into the cupcake tins. You're going to preheat your oven to 350, cook the crust for 10 minutes, pull it out, let it cool. And then the filling is going to be 1.5 cups of raw cashews. You're going to want to soak those in hot water for about a half an hour prior to it. That will really help with pureeing them into a smooth texture. 3/4 cup fresh or frozen berries. 1/3 cup of, this suggests unsweetened coconut milk, but you can use any non-dairy milk, or, you know, if you're a dairy drinker, that's fine. You can use your dairy milk.
Sure.
1/2 cup of pure maple syrup for the sweetener.
Ugh.
1/4 cup of coconut, of melted coconut oil. 1 tablespoon of fresh lemon juice. 1/2 teaspoon of lemon zest. 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract. And then 1 cup of additional berries for a garnish. So for the filling...
Go ahead.
Yeah. Finish. For the filling, you just go ahead and puree it all into a very smooth texture. So it's almost like a pudding.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to pour it into your crust, freeze it for 2 or 3 hours. And then when you pull it out, you'll have a lovely, creamy cheesecake.
Oh, it sounds
Sound divine? I know.
And, you know, if people worry about the recipe, you know, because there's a lot of little ingredients in that.
Yes.
There is a way for them to get those, right?
Right. So I will post the recipe on our Facebook page as well, which is Lighthouse Beacon, as well as our Twitter handle, which again is Lighthouse Beacon on Twitter. So
sure.
You can find the recipe either way.
So you'll be set, and you'll be having some wonderful homemade berries. Now,
berry cheesecake.
Cheesecake.
Yep.
Now, my favorite is next week.
I know. We've got a vegan mini coconut cream pies, which is very similar to the one I just... this recipe.
Don't tell them that.
I won't.
We'll hold that for a secret.
All right.
I take it all back. As the old game show, I've got a secret.
I don't know that
she
one.
Did. I know. Before your time,
yes,
believe me.
Yes, it was.
That's our Lettuce Turn Up the Beat segment. Go check out our website for that, which is, again...
It's on Facebook. We're at Lighthouse Beacon, and on Twitter, where our handle is Lighthouse Beacon as well. So just put our name in the search box, and we'll pop right up for you.
Makes it real easy for you. Coming back, we'll be stepping into Tom's Corner right after this.
Hi, I'm Erica Borgren, Iraq veteran and director of the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs. Our mission is to empower veterans and their families to thrive. Our agency is home to a team of veterans whose sole job is to help other veterans. But we can't do this work alone. We need Illinois veterans to stand up and be counted so we can better understand and serve our veteran community. You have already stood up to answer the call to service. Now, stand up and be counted to help the entire veteran community. Visit veterans.illinois.gov.
That really does sound delightful.
Doesn't it?
You know what my favorite cheesecake, and I know you're going to hate me.
No.
Sara Lee cream cheesecake.
You know what?
No berries, no fruit, nothing.
Just kicking it old school.
The old school.
Yep, back to the basics.
Oh, God, with a big glass of milk?
Absolutely.
Oh.
I have an appreciation for those simple things in life.
Honest to God, I won't say it because we're on the radio.
It's inferred.
So.
We got it.
Yeah, that's right.
We got it.
And these guys sometimes should not say some of the things they say.
Oh.
But they go about. But they're nice guys.
Yeah, they are nice guys. You're the one with the dirty old man around here.
Thanks, I appreciate
it. Don't put those labels on poor Blaine.
Listen, I'm
Tom.
Damn proud of it too.
As you should be.
That's right.
As you should be.
So we're gonna stop down at the little house down the street, where Brian Hawkins hosts Tom's Corner, right here on the Beacon.
Hello, everyone. Welcome into Tom's Corner. I'm Brian Hawkins with Tom Persky. And we're here again. And this week, Tom, last week you were at the Glenview show, and there were lots of questions that people had on their mind, weren't there?
There really was. We had a great turnout at our Low Vision Product Show, where we display many, many items from technology, independent living aids, and, of course, our staff, Luke and Eric and Sandra. The Glenview staff, of course, is there, Melissa and Jeremy. So we had lots of people to talk to, and it's really nice when you have a chance to just sit and talk to people. Because lots of people come in, and yeah, they're looking at items that maybe they've never seen before, technology for low vision devices for reading and writing, or independent living aids, but they have just a time to sit and no appointment or anything, just walk in, sit down, and let's talk. And it's just really a nice venue, and I think it's one of the most popular things about our Low Vision Product Shows is that it affords us the time to just sit and talk to people. So many people come in and they want to buy a magnifying glass. So this gives us an opportunity to talk about the fact that, you know, there are so many different types of magnifying glasses, and you can't just pick one up and buy one in the state of Illinois. There's an actual law that says that, you know, if you have doctors on your staff, optometrists like we do, that you can't sell directly to the public, that we need to be more professional in measuring a person's vision. And so we talk about low vision devices, and that the doctors are going to measure your vision, one eye and then the other eye. We're going to determine and assess what you might need for a magnifying glass. And then what a lot of people don't realize is once they know the power of the magnification, that can come in many different forms. And so you could actually get a magnifying glass you hold in your hand. You could get one that actually sits directly on the table with illumination built into it. The doctors can actually make a custom-made lens for like a pair of reading glasses, and the advantage of that would be you could just keep your hands free, so it could be used for reading books and so forth. But how about like just holding up your iPhone or holding up a photograph of something, or just anything where you don't want to have to hold something in your hand? Or let's say you have a trouble with gripping a magnifying glass, or you have a tremor in your hand or thing. So there's many, many options like that. And then with each lens, people have to learn a little bit how to use them and where to hold things. And so part of our service in low vision is occupational therapists that actually sit with you as after your appointment. And many of them will be done right in your home to show you all the tips and tricks. We had lots of questions about driving. And people do not know that there is a low vision telescopic pair of glasses that's allowed in the state of Illinois for certain cases of vision loss. And so those who are vision in their best eye is worse than 20/70 can have a what's called a bioptic telescope made pair of glasses made, so that they're not driving looking through the telescope, they're driving looking through the regular part of your glasses. And then by dipping your chin and being able to look through the telescope, you can see three times farther down the road than you normally could, you know. And there's a technique and to that too, and lots in practice. But many people have questions like that and didn't know. So it really allows us to sit and talk, and then people decide, you know what, I need to go for low vision evaluation. So it worked out really, really good.
You'll have one there, I guess. The next one won't be until next year, or
In Glenview? No, we've got one September 22nd, I think. Okay. So mark your calendars early, although I don't have the sheet on it yet, but okay. I do have it in my mind.
Well, we'll let everyone know once we get close to that date.
Yeah.
Now, for folks who may not have been able to go to that Glenview show or haven't gotten to any of the road shows lately, you can go to the website, which is now new and improved.
It's new and improved, and we're talking not about the Chicago Lighthouse website, or although you can get there from the main one, chicagolighthouse.org, and you would scroll down to like the third major category. It says shop or shop online. If you want to go directly to our website, lighthousetoolsforliving.com,
right.
I believe we have toolsforliving.org also.
Right.
So those led you to our store and technology website, which is new and improved. So we've got bigger and bolder letters. We've got a nice banner at the top. It says deal of the day.
Right.
So every time you click on, if you're looking for a particular item, maybe you'll watch it for a couple of days and see what the deal of the day is, because they're sometimes pretty fantastic sales. We've got some new categories. We tried to split some of the categories into more specific. So we have one called used electronic magnifiers.
Right.
And so these are the ones that are video magnifiers, not optical magnifiers, and they come in all sizes from $295 all the way up. But some of the used equipment you can certainly get at sometimes half price, and so that's a good thing to check out if you're in the market for some of these new video magnifiers. We have a new category called tech sale.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are not used items. These would be items that are either like a demonstrator unit or a new unit that we've just reduced the price to temporarily. And so those are always good to keep going back to the tech sale if you're in the market to buy a CCTV video magnifier or any of these new products. We've got one on there I know now that's about half price. So those are good things to check out.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't be like me. I went to the website earlier and my browser's not up to date, so I had some functionality problems. So make sure your browser is up to date and you'll be able to just what do they call it, surf right through it and find everything you need.
Yeah, well, when we were on the tech page,
right.
It reminded me that there at the bottom there are other links to our YouTube channel,
right.
Which is another good way to keep up with. There's so many new things coming out that if you want to see a short video on all of these different products, we try to keep it to three or four minutes at the most. And it's a way that you can just see them in action and what they do and how important they are. I know Luke's continuing to do some new videos. He did a short one on the eSight eyeglasses recently, just a real quick overview to give a person an idea about what's this eSight thing that we keep hearing about. The other one that's big is Orcam from
right.
Israel. He did a quick one on the Orcam. And so these are, we've learned to just keep them short and sweet and people really like them. So, or you can go to YouTube and just type in CHI Lighthouse as your search, and it'll bring you to our channel, which has all of our videos.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There's lots to watch there, folks.
There is.
Now, the Glenview show's not until September, we know that, but there are road shows that are coming up in the next few weeks.
August 17th is our next show, and that's our second show that's going to be in Merrillville, Indiana. So we've increased the low vision evaluations that we've been doing there with a doctor who's there now 2 days a month instead of 1 day a month. And she's involved in fact, I don't even know her name yet because she's brand new. But she will be doing low vision evaluations for many of the things that I talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But then Eric will be there on the same day. So you can call and make an appointment or just come to the road show. And again, it's August 17th is a Wednesday from 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock. It's an open house and people are invited. It's going to be at it's called the Trade Winds organization. It's a nonprofit and right there in Merrillville, Indiana. So there, can you read the phone number if you have a question about how to get to Trade Winds? Is it 219?
Yeah, sure. It's area code 219-945-0100. So that's 219-945-0100.
August 17th. Yeah, right. Put that on your calendar if you live in that area. And then later, August 31st, We have a show in a very popular location, Frankfort, Illinois, at the Frankfort Township office on Lincoln Highway.
Okay.
And so the, people love that one, too, who live in the south suburbs. And then in the fall, look out, because we're going to be almost every week going somewhere new. So we got to gear back up.
Yeah, get in shape.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that'll do it. Lots of great information. Don't forget, folks, about the new and improved website at ChicagoLighthouse.org and .com. And that'll do it.
Tools for living. Chicago Lighthouse. Wait, LighthouseToolsForLiving.com or .org.
Right. Okay. There are so many websites. Okay. All right. He's Tom Persky. I'm Brian Hawkins. And this is The Beacon.
That's it. I gotta find somebody. Maybe Stacy will make the cheesecake.
Yeah, I'm sure she would.
Because she likes cheesecake. So.
Well, there you go. She likes to eat healthy. She tries to.
She does.
Get you to get on the bandwagon.
Well, she does. She's actually gotten me on it.
Good.
Well, listen, it's been a great show.
It has been. We do say so ourselves.
If we don't, no one else will.
This is true.
Thanks to Dr. Janet Slick of the Chicago Lighthouse and the board for making our program possible. Also for Sandra Murillo.
Oh, she's so great.
Who is our associate producer. And we have a new guy joined our staff, a new intern.
Oh, we do?
Yes. His name is Brett, and it's got one of those last names like Maggie Dealey, who got married.
Yes.
So I'm not even
going to pronounce it.
No.
Okay. All right. So Brett the intern.
Yes, Brent the intern, and he'll be doing
Is it Brent with an N?
No, Brett.
Brett.
B-R-E-T-T, I believe.
Right. Brett.
So he's going to be doing some reports from time to time. He's going to be like a roving reporter.
Welcome, Brett.
That's right. And of course,
our buddy.
Yes, the one and only.
The man that can.
That's right. Banana can, all right. New name.
The man that can.
Oh, see, I'm sorry.
Banana can.
I see, what do you put the peels in there? Whatever.
Banana can.
That's right. Mr. Brian Hawkins, who does that voodoo that he does so well.
Yes, he does.
We will be back with you next Saturday. Should be an interesting show, that too. It has to do with stem cell and how they can create new corneas.
Very cool.
Join us for that. I'm Bill Jurek.
I'm Lainey Queen.
We'll see you next week. Have a cool week, because it's supposed to be doggone hot.